Number 43 in the game program, number one in your heart.
Passes off to Thanasis, who rocks the rim of Antetokounmpo style right there.
All Thanasis, all the time.
Thanasis has it on the near wing. He's crossing over. Going to work. Takes it in. Powers it up and in.
Thanasis Adetokounmpo sits down for honest and fun conversations.
He's going to drive inside right to the rack. Stuffs it down with a one-hand jam. Thanasis.
This is Thanalysis.
Man, welcome to another episode of Thanalysis show. It's been incredible. It's been crazy. We've had the Thanalysis March Madness. It's insane, like the guests and everybody we've had, but I love it. I love it. I love the support. You know, all these people who came to my podcast, who keep coming to the podcast. And like, the guests is great. We had a last show, we actually had Pat Connaughton talk a little bit about, and the other side of it, talk a little bit about Marquette. Unfortunately, they lost. Ugh, man, but AC State. This kid, this is crazy. They beat Duke as well. And what's really interesting about this kid, he did two moves. And one of them was kind of incredible. And I'll say why incredible. I'll say us in the NBA, we kind of know what's coming after. Like, when you first hit the first bump, you get the ball in the post, you turn around, the first bump, you know, we know the second bump, the guy's going to sit down for a charge, right? So he uses the second bump and spins and lays it up. And I'm like, damn, how can they not see this? You know? But that'll let you know the talent of this kid, that he has a great feel for the game. You know, and Nikola Jokic actually said, talking about him a little bit after, in one of his interviews, like, bro, I love his game. And of course we admire him because we're like, we see ourselves like in this kid. We're like, man, it's good for him. It's good that he's doing it. But overall, Caitlin Clark, overall, the women's college basketball has been on fire.
I wanted to get there with you at some point today in today's podcast. So this is, let people know, audio only.
Audio only.
Yeah, so we're doing something a little bit different from time to time.
Yeah.
We'll have the audio only version of the podcast so we can get more timely, different opinions and stories out there
100%,
to the fans. 100%.
And keep everybody... in the audio side, like, they love this. You know, they want more and more content. You know, with the visual stuff, it's kind of harder a little bit with the interview and the guests. But the audio, got to be consistent. You know, get the people what they want.
So I want to talk about Jokic in a little bit here. But you brought up Caitlin Clark.
By the way, no. Before I even start, you guys are hearing a different voice, but I haven't introduced my guy, Tony.
I jumped in too quickly.
No, my guy, Tony. Tony, hey, if you guys are listening, you've heard Tony in another podcast. But now I'm bringing him to the light. I need him, not only on the producing side of it, but to co-host some of these audios with me, because I think we complement each other in the best way. So what you got for me, Tony?
I want to start off, Caitlin Clark, you mentioned her. She's taken over. She hasn't taken over women's basketball. She's taken over basketball right now.
Oh, my God.
I was at the store today, and there's a magazine. It's not even Slam Magazine, Sports Illustrated. It just says Caitlin Clark on the top, and every page is dedicated to her. Ice Cube offered $5 million to play in the Big Three this summer. She's obviously going to be the number one overall pick, presumably, in the WNBA draft.
Probably.
Where her salary will probably be close to like $75,000 for the year.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Are we taking the $5 million and waiting a year for the WNBA? It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. And the only thing tough about that is the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The love of the game, it does play a role, you know, into everything. But is she going to be the number one pick? I mean, Angel Reese is in the draft as well, right?
I saw her mocked as high as 6 this past week.
Six
to Minnesota. So I saw Caitlin Clark is pretty much number one locked
in. I don't know. I've never scouted women's basketball. But, you know, it's going to be competitive. I know you never know what's going to happen in the draft. It's a draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's always different. But it's the love of the game. And then you got to realize that, okay, what endorsements does she have? Because I just found out about NIL deals, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know that existed. I was like, oh, why are the guys still staying in college?
Oh, yeah.
But
NIL
now that's why.
Real.
Now it's real. Like, when I see those numbers, I'm like, oh, okay, that's why they want to stay in college.
So we had a kid from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
AJ Starr played for the Badgers last year.
Yeah.
He's in the transfer portal. He told Kansas, I want a mill. They said, we'll give you $750,000. He said, no thanks. He's going to go find a different school.
No, he didn't.
There's real money in college basketball now.
Oh,
men and women. There's money.
You know what it is, too? it's hard, but they deserve it. They for the whole time they haven't been getting paid, they deserve as much as they can get. That's my opinion on it.
I agree with you on that one. Go get paid.
And I understand the argument of like, okay, now people don't want to play for the school and for the love of being an alumni from a school, but guys, you gotta understand for guys who their whole life, their whole hope is to get to the NBA. Now their whole hope is to get to college now, and get that and get be on a team and get paid that and get that NIL deal. So now going back to Caitlin Clark, I think is her deal. You know what I mean? Is it with like are her NIL deals with like State Farm or like, you know, stuff like that? Because those stuff can actually
be transferred to
the league, to the WNBA.
Yeah, her endorsement money will be fine. Like all those commercials and things that she does now, those will translate over. They'll probably get even bigger.
Yeah,
she'll be working with an apparel brand. She'll be working with insurance, all those kinds of things. Okay. So, it obviously makes sense for her to go to the WNBA, have the consistency, have all those things. It was just a $5 million is a big offer from Ice Cube in the Big Three League for sure.
No, it's a good, and it shows a lot of respect. They respect your talent, and they think you can grow their product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think you can be the face of their league. So it's a top notch, I would say.
Speaking of faces of the league,
what?
Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
So obviously you guys have played the Nuggets, that whole deal, right?
Yeah.
I saw an audio clip today.
Yeah.
And Euro players got each other's backs, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of just like it's part of the brotherhood, so mm-hmm. I get that. Gilbert Arenas has his own podcast, so he gets a lot of clicks. He gets a lot of fame post-career, and he was a great ball player. We all know that. He was on with Shannon Sharp, and he said, Jokic, and we'll play the audio clip here.
No, I got to – what did he say? Like
one of the worst – or the worst MVP statistically of the last 40 years.
No, he didn't.
He's
say
about
that.
To win his third straight.
He
probably
did not say that.
The audio,
you're lying.
The audio clip's right here.
Yo, hold on. Let me.
Here,
let me
I'm gonna hand you this. You listen to this. We'll put it into the podcast.
Yeah.
For the fans to listen to. I want you to hear the whole thing. Just hit play.
Right.
Jokic is probably statistically, when it comes to overall game, the worst MVP winner. He is the worst MVP winner in the last 40 years.
Why you say that?
When you're talking about MVP, the guys outside of first and second place, their teams was first and second place. The people who won the MVP, their teams was first and second. When Jordan won it, his team record, they were seventh in the NBA. That year, he averaged 35, 6, 5, 3 steals. All-star MVP, defensive player of the year, scoring title, steals leader. That was the MVP. Historic year. Makes sense, right? That makes sense. When Westbrook won it, his team had the 10th best record. Triple-double.
First time since Oscar Robertson did
something amazing. His team was 10th, but he did something that wasn't done since Oscar Robertson. When Jokic in 2021, Jokic's team was fifth. He averaged 26, 8, and 10. What was the historic part of that? There was no historic. Oh, the big man almost had a triple-double. Let's give it to him. That's what the narrative was. A big man almost, not did, almost won the triple-double, and they gave it to him. When his team record was like that. His second MVP, his team was tied in 10th place. 10th best record in the NBA, 27, 8, and 13. What was historic about it? The two people before him had an amazing season.
Okay, so...
Bro,
He's
all over the place.
So the argument he's making is about the winning and the eighth place and the 10th place.
Yeah, right? the overall team records.
Yeah, which in some cases it's the best player and the best team, right? And in other cases, you kind of have to have a historic season statistically to be able to win the award.
And that's what he said about Westbrook when he won it, when first player to average a triple-double since Robertson. Yes. Like, of course, you're going to bring home the MVP.
It does happen. It does happen. And remember, it does have to do as well with who else is in other teams as well. Because if you're in first place, or if you're in the 10th place and you're averaging the historic season, but you got another guy who's in like first or second and he's actually having a historic season as well, it becomes hard for you to win. So he's toe-to-toe. Now, to kind of say he's the worst MVP, he's over-exaggerating. I don't know why he said that. He's played basketball. He knows basketball. I don't know why he would say that now. For clicks, for this, I don't know. That's not what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking now is that I'm trying to see the reasoning behind it. The stuff he gave, that's based on stats. That's not based on it. But you could arguably say that based on stats, his PR has been amazing. It's him. The last years, it's been Giannis. It's been, that's based on how people see it nowadays, analytically. If he'd said about the eye test, about like he doesn't like his game, maybe, but I don't really agree. Maybe I'm biased because I'm pro Europeans.
You appreciate a quality NBA player today, and that's what Jokic is.
To be honest, to come here and up here and say, not talk shit, but just have a take like that about the guy who arguably might win his third.
Mm-hmm.
It's, come on, dog. We know better. But I still the argument he was trying to make. Okay. But no, I don't think we're gonna, nowadays we're trying to minimize everything. Is that easy? Is it that easy to do that? I don't think so.
I just think the one thing he said, he compared it to Westbrook and he brought up Jordan. You're not gonna have historic all-time record-setting seasons every single year.
Yeah,
sometimes someone just dominates from game one to game 82, and you're the MVP. It might not be the prettiest stat line, but...
Yes, it is what it is. You saw what happened with Joel this year. Got hurt, and then he put the 65. And even if they didn't have 65, he probably would have been in trouble because, he did lose a lot of games. So I don't know if they would still, consider it. But see what happened to guys. Even with Giannis. Giannis has been having for the past 3-4 years. He's been right there. And it's crazy. If we would go back and they see it, and then all of a sudden be like, oh yeah. And if I hear one more time, this is what gets me, and I know we're gonna get off track.
No.
If I hear one more time,
get after him.
Oh, Giannis does what Giannis does. I'm gonna lose it, bro. Because it's like, oh yeah, the Greek freak's gonna do his thing. Like, what? Are you joking?
It's expected.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's expected.
No, from the outsiders looking in, him going out there and getting 28, 8, and 6 every single night is just like, all right, cool, another day at the office.
Yes, but what I would say is that you got to think about this. When he, on his bad day, he will have a stat line that some other guys will say, oh, my God, look at him. Could have been a performance by this guy. And then I'm like, okay, guys, this is ridiculous, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But... let's go back on topic. I don't agree with this take. No. 100% I don't agree with this take. And I don't think he really believes that, though. Like, you saw what he said. I don't think he did it because he's kind of biased to him, but.
Yeah, he's got his opinion, and that's Gilbert Arenas knows way more about basketball than I do. I completely understand that.
He played at the highest level. Listen, playing and coaching and sitting outside, obviously, playing gives you a little bit more leverage talking about basketball, of course, and being into basketball. But at the same time, come on, bro. This is what got me. I'm like, why would you say that then?
Yeah. But when you look at MVPs all time, Kobe had one. Iverson got one. LeBron had, when he was in Miami, should have won it all 4 years. He only got two. Giannis only has two.
I think we can
look at the MVP award and be like, sometimes the voters, I don't think they're wrong with Jokic, but they might be wrong sometimes.
Don't get me wrong. They might be wrong sometimes, but it's not – it's not necessarily every year. It happens, and sometimes it happens, normal, logically, and then sometimes it's absurd. It's like, oh, shoot, how'd that happen? But it is what it is.
So switching gears a little bit here, sticking with the NBA.
Yeah.
Playoff season right around the corner, right? We're about 2 weeks away from the play-in tournament when we're recording this, and we are, 2.5 weeks from when you guys will start playing some playoff games.
Yeah.
That's when, historically, nationally, people say that's when NBA teams start to play defense.
Oh, most definitely.
So what I want to talk to you about and get your opinion on is we're going to do a list. I know we don't normally do lists and things like that on here. But I want to look at, we're going to talk defense. The East, we'll start in the East. Top five defensive players in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, we already have three in our team.
All right. All right. So, I mean, so you're going Giannis, Brooke, Pat Bev, right?
Of course.
All right.
Three. That's nothing, but we're taking
off. We got to take the Bucks out of this because I'm assuming you guys will see some of these guys on the playoff run here.
Yeah.
So, top five defenders in the East, in TA's opinion.
Top five defenders. Top five defenders.
I did not let Thanasis prepare for this question at all either, the way.
I know. You can tell by the mic. This is like, you can edit this on the audio.
If it wasn't copyright, I'd have to get the Jeopardy music out here.
Okay. So, Bruce Brown.
Okay.
Very underrated. I believe, like, he's top-tier defender. Top-tier. Who else? No, we're talking about East now, right?
Yep, Eastern Conference.
Dennis Smith.
Really?
Yes.
That is not a name that pops up from a lot of people.
Yeah, that is not. But if you guys are listening, you guys watch it, go check him out. He's up there.
So we got Bruce Brown. We got
Dennis Smith.
I got to keep track of these for the.
I got to give you five. This is not particular order.
Honestly, if we don't do five, it's just those players, those defensive players that
I'll get you five.
Give some guys some fits.
I'll get you five.
We'll call it the Pat Bev Award. Those defensive guys.
Yeah. I mean, I told you, too. I think the other three is on our team, but who else?
Some names that pop to mind for me while you're thinking, and I'm just looking at.
I'll tell you if I agree. You
is Bam on that list?
Yeah, most definitely, yes.
I'm just thinking back to, obviously, last year, Miami's going to be in the mix. Bam's on there. What about Jaylen Brown on the perimeter?
Drew Holiday.
Oh, yeah, Jaylen Brown's teammate, Drew Holiday's on the list.
Oh my God.
No doubt.
You know, it's blur. Whenever I think about these two teams, I just get a blur. I don't want to even mention them, but I'm joking. But, Drew Holiday. 100%. So three.
So we got Dennis Smith, Bruce Brown.
Drew Holiday.
And you said Bam would probably be on that list as well.
Yeah. Wesley Matthews.
There you go.
Marquette. I should have put in
a non-former teammate.
Okay, we can take Wes.
If Wes is on your list, that works.
Oh, he has to be. It's Wes, man.
Defense is just so underappreciated in the NBA. So I like to talk about.
But this is just Wes, right?
Not the whole East. NBA. This is just East. East, right?
East. Okay. So I got to give you Wes.
Yeah, I wanted the top five in the West, too.
PJ Tucker.
Okay. Another former teammate. How many defensive players have we had over the years?
We dogs. I'm telling you. That's how we won.
That was complete side note off track here. The best part of the championship parade. I don't know where you guys were at this time, but PJ gets on stage, takes a swig of the gold bottle, and he goes, "They said we got dogs.
We got dogs."
And that basin, yep. Yeah, that had the crowd going nuts.
Shout out to PJ. Terrence Mann,
yep.
Terrence, man. Shout out Terrence. Lou Dort.
Okay.
Shout out to OKC, Lou Dort.
Man, they're loaded with young talent.
Yeah.
Who's that guard from the Pelicans?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's very high on him. I'm completely blanking on his name. I'm going to look it up right now.
You know, I'm not exactly what you're talking about.
He was like first team defense last year, too, I think.
I think Jose is a good defender.
No, Jose is a good.
But the other guy as well. Oh, my God. It's not Smith. Oh, my God. Why am I blanking right now? Just show me the roster real quick.
I'm looking it up right now.
And so it's one more guy that I'm missing right now.
Herb Jones.
That's four?
That's four.
And the fifth, I mean, Rudy, obviously, bro.
Oh, there's him. You know who I was thinking I was going to throw a name at you?
Who?
Draymond, too, I think. But he's probably more energy.
He is. Of course, he's top five defenders. But, like, Marcus Smart would have been, but he's hurt. So I'm just saying, like, guys, right now I'm just having a –
What
steady
about
season.
Godzilla versus King Kong?
Wemby
making the list?
Yeah, but I cannot put those guys Wemby and Giannis because like they affect the whole game. So I just put the guards. I'm a guard guy.
Okay.
When Marcus Smart won the defensive player, y'all so happy. Like I'm like finally a guard won. was always big man.
I do love when a good guard, tenacious guard. That's why I like, and especially someone my size too, like you got the Pat Bevs of the world, Marcus Smarts. Like yeah. You got those dogs on the perimeter. Can you, I know we have our top five lists that were like 20 players, but whatever, we're showing love to everybody. Yeah. How important is it when you are trying to set up a team defense to have that guard up top that just controls the defense, doesn't let that other guard blow by him?
It's almost imperative. It's almost like a must because it sets the tone for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the stuff, the people don't even get to the paint, you know? So it does matter. It does matter, so.
For all the football fans listening, and TA's learning football this year, by the way, too. We had Jordan Love on the pod.
By the way, did Stephon Diggs just got traded to the Texans?
He did.
That was real?
Yeah, that was real. What? I thought it was fake, too, when I first saw it.
Oh, no. Okay, let's not open that up. It's fun another day.
We're going to have – do you know what we should start doing on the audio pods of this is just a five-minute, like, football segment with you. Fans here in America love American football like it's their own kid. It doesn't matter.
I'll do. I mean, I don't know a lot about football, so I don't want to be like.
No, that's why we're going to teach you some stuff. Because okay, we had Jordan Love on the pod. Okay. We got a couple other Packers scheduled.
Yeah.
Teaser alert, we got some Packers scheduled coming up here. We're going to go to a game at Lambeau this year for sure. So yeah. We'll just do a little bit of football, integrate it in a little bit.
That's good. I'm excited. So I can't put it, but I can't like find the right word to say. But like I'm loving this podcast, bro. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm like, you know, I'm learning so many things. So I'm all for it. man,
quick before you end here, and you'll tell people this past week, and I we'll shout it out. It's on at the Nalisher Show on Twitter. You joined Dominique Foxworth, who is one of the biggest faces at ESPN right now. I want to. the video's up there. Go check out the interview. And when I tell you that Fox came prepared to interview you, he starts this podcast. I listen to this thing. You filmed it out.
He started the podcast with the animal facts.
He flipped the script on you.
Yes, and then he's giving the weird ones. He's like, if this penis is looking, I'm like, nah. Hey, bro. In my head, I'm like, nah. What we do?
I was surprised. I had a couple of those ones that he listed for you were on my list, but I was like, I don't really want to hit on this one yet.
Oh, my God.
And then he busted those out.
No. But I loved it, man. I appreciate Dominique bringing me on the show and ESPN bringing me on and his co-host and everybody. Like, it was great. I get to, you know, I got to talk about, like, the Blake Griffin thing with the headbutt. I got to talk about, like,
the sham god.
I got to talk about little things, but it was great because, you know, I think people don't know me like that. So it was great to kind of like, it was refreshing actually to kind of say like, hey, okay, this is what he's about, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was going, you guys go check that out. And again, podcast comes to an end. Thank you guys for listening in your car and at your house, in front of your computer. You guys have been amazing. Please. Follow us on the socials. Follow us on YouTube if you want to watch the videos, the visuals. Subscribe, comment, click the notification button. You guys have been amazing. And if you guys want to listen to this podcast, you're going to Analysis, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. We're available on every platform. You guys have been great. March Madness is almost over. Let's get it. Playoff run,
baby.
Bucks in six.